Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Essence of the Upanishads. The title is Sutras, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Vunak Sahaviryam Karavavai Tejasvinavadhi Tamas Mavidu Vishavahi Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Blessed self in all adoration. This is Kathopanishad, and we are towards the end of the Upanishad, verse number 10. Every verse of the Upanishad is known as mantra. And why? Mananat trayate iti mantra. Which means, if you reflect upon what the mantra is saying, if you reflect upon the contents of the verse, that will lead you to liberation. It will make you free of the ocean of the world process. Therefore, it's called mantra. And mantra has taken different aspects. So all special utterances, like Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, all these are known as mantras. The difference is, in devotional mantra, you repeat it again and again with feeling. And the mantra works like a medicine. So whether you have the right attitude towards a mantra or not, in spite of that, mantra has its benefit. It will grip you. You drink milk carelessly, with good feeling, without good feeling, you get the nourishment. That is not milk advertisement. Same way, mantra, if you repeat it, and that's, in a way, all religions recognize it. And therefore, custom has evolved that for any reason, generally when people sneeze, some mantra is recited, some prayer is said, God's name is uttered. We'll not go into those details, but basically here, in the previous mantras, gradation in existence has been explained. Senses are like horses. Greater than senses is the mind. The mind, the reins that pulls the horses. Greater than the reins is the intellect that drives the chariot. But greater than intellect is cosmic mind, the intellect of God, mind of God. And greater than cosmic mind is avyakta, which is same as maya. Also described as prakriti. Another name is given pradhan, the different terminologies, which is inseparable in relation to Brahman. Brahman and prakriti. Prakriti is the power of Brahman. Just like the magician and his magical power, they are inseparable. Those who are deluded by his magic, for them there is a duality. There is a magician and there is magical power. When you have no delusion, then Brahman is alone. Brahman alone exists. Because that's the speciality of a magician. He is always doing something for those who are deluded. I'm talking about old magicians, old style. They worked upon minds of people. There is a magician and a whole circle of people around him. He mesmerizes them, hypnotizes them. He may have only one apple in his hand, and he tells them, now I'm going to plant this apple. And now a tender shoot is coming up. Now it is growing into branches. It has become a big tree. And people's minds are so gripped that they see all this. That anyone who is away from the range of that hypnotic magic. Simply sees him talking and nothing is happening. So Brahman is that way. Nothing is happening. He is absolute. But those who are gripped by Maya, for them there is the world, universe, with all these layers I described. The layer of the senses, and comes mind, and comes intellect, and comes cosmic mind. Then comes avyakta, that maya shakti, the power of illusion. Beyond that is Brahman. Therefore, if your mind is prepared for attaining enlightenment, it has to go through stages. Raja Yoga gives more clarity about it. If your mind is focused on objects of the senses, that's the beginning stage. And you practice your meditation, you enter into samadhi. That samadhi is called vitarka samadhi. Samadhi where mind is focused on gross objects. Then as you move further, called vichar samadhi, mind that is focused on subtle constituents of the physical objects, called tanmatras, subtle elements. Those elements are very closely associated with mental plane. If you go further, you come into intellect plane. Samadhi is called Ananda Samadhi. You become very joyous. If you go further, you come into ego plane, Sasmita Samadhi. And if that plane becomes profoundly developed, mature, then you enter into Asampragnat. I'm giving you very brief outline, where you are in a realm of being closest to Brahman. It is the maturity of Asampragnat that will lead you to Jivan Mukti, liberation. So basically, therefore, there are these steps, gross, subtle, the state of your intellect, the state of your ego, and beyond. Yada panchava tishtante jnanani manasasaha buddhischa na vicheshtate tamahu paramam gatim. When the five senses are withdrawn along with the mind, and even the intellect is free of effort, that means you have transcended these layers. Layer of the five senses is the gross plane. You've entered into the mental level and you've gone beyond mental, the level of intellect. Naturally, at this level, intellect becomes intuitional, parallel to Sananda Samadhi, which means joy. Great joy is experienced. And then only thing now remains is to break the veil, break the illusion of ego, and get into cosmic expansion. Then that state is called the supreme goal by the yogis. That's your goal. That goal is always there. That goal is shining like the sun. It trickles down through the veil of ignorance and begins to operate at your ego plane. Ego and intellect are very closely knitted, called Vijnanamaya Kosha. And further, it steps down to your mental plane, steps down to the plane of senses. Put another way of looking at it, sun is just the same, one alone. The rays of the sun, as they pass through clouds, if they pass through silvery clouds, the refraction is minimum. When they pass through more layers of clouds, they turn into rainbows. And similarly, the same sun goes through different levels. In the same way, the shining self in you operating in the plane of intellect creates lots of thoughts, reflections. Operating at the level of mind creates lots of imaginations, desires, distractions. Operating at the plane of senses makes you aware of a world of multiplicity. At the root of all, there is a shining sun. For easier understanding, think of your dream world. In your dream, you are experiencing a very similar predicament, a whole world there. But it is the light of consciousness that is illumining your dream world, not only illumining, but expressing through your dream. Therefore, when you have reached that level of purified intellect or intuitive intellect, then you realize, I am that sun, I am all effulgent. I alone am the non-dual self. With that revelation, the journey of life comes to an end. That's the goal of life. That they call the highest state. Tam yogmiti manyate sthiram indriya dharanam apramattah tada bhavati yogo hi bhavapyayau. The firm control of the senses they regard as yoga. Then a yogi becomes very cautious because the state of yoga comes and goes. This is the subtle point is being given. When you are moving from, to reiterate, vitarka, gross state of mind, you move to vichara, subtler state. With vitarka, your mind is dealing with gross objects. Whenever you are told to meditate, your mind conjures up God that can be seen, that can be like as pictures, or you are meditating upon a candle flame or moon or sun or some picture of the deity. As long as that is your focus in the mind, you can get into a high level of samadhi. Your mind can become completely immersed into it and you will have an ecstasy. And that has its own benefits, but this is not the highest samadhi. It leads you to vichara samadhi. In vichara, concrete object that was the focus of your meditation now turns into abstract. Your mind no longer does it go towards concrete. Concrete doesn't exist for it. So your mind is directly aware of an experience that is very intimate to the mind. In other words, abstract qualities such as peace, joy, compassion, then that state is vichara. Now, if you continue, there is profounder purification in your unconscious. You are led to ananda samadhi. You have come to the center of your ego, and to your great surprise, ego that has shed egoism, then it's a joyous experience. You call it sasmita samadhi. And then it opens the door to cosmic expansion. Now, having come to sasmita samadhi, of course, at every level, samadhi is slippery. You may enter into samadhi and suddenly become so joyous. Now your mind starts planning, I'm already experienced samadhi, what will I do after? Or you conjure up the idea, I have attained enlightenment. And soon you realize this is not enlightenment. So even if you become very mature, great vigilance is needed first to understand the level of from ego to cosmic expansion. Sustained sadhana must be practiced, and detachment, vairagya, must blossom more and more. Therefore, that's what's meant by yogi has to be very careful, cautious. just like with moving clouds, suddenly the sun shines up and suddenly sun is veiled. Yogi becomes very cautious. Cautious term is what's termed as savadhan. You always remain alert, awake. Otherwise, while you are practicing samadhi or meditation, you may wander away. You have an hour of wonderful dream and come back and write down your diary for 1 hour of deep meditation. Vigilance, wakefulness, that's the characteristic of sattva. You don't have to work hard to be awake. Once you are experiencing in a positive way, the lethargy of the mind moves away. You become extremely awake without any stress or tension. However, as long as there is some obstruction due to your unconscious impressions, then a glimpse will come and then it moves away. Nothing to be discouraged about. Go on practicing it more and more. This is illustrated by scriptures, by so many stories. Again and again, Narada had that idea, he had conquered the highest. Again and again, Lord Vishnu sends him to a turmoil. And that leela goes on, that's fun. Even slightest impressions of transcendental glimpse, they become very potent. And you are led from little glimpse to higher glimpse, from higher glimpse to still higher. So a special type of energy begins to operate in you.